I'm Shankar Vedant. And
welcome to a Juno Afternoon for this Wednesday, February 8th, 2023. I'm Katie Bosler, your host for today's show, filling in for Shelley Delaney. Coming up in the next hour, first up, we'll meet a director, a producer, a writer, an actor, and of course, sound effects experts who helped create this weekend's Radio Theater Festival, co-produced by Theater Alaska and KTOO in association with Ghost Light Theater. Then, flautist Shelley Schlichting and friends, well, Shelley will be here herself, will be in to warm us up for the Con Brio performance set for Saturday afternoon in the atrium of the State Museum. And members of the Juno STEAM Coalition will close out the show to tell us about Curiosity Unleashed, a community-wide event for kindergarten through fifth graders. Taking a look at the weather, it looks like we have a strong storm system expected to move north into the Panhandle Wednesday night into Thursday. This system will pull cold air west from Canada into the central and northern inner channels. Snow is expected mainly Wednesday night for most areas, with accumulation ranging 3 to 6 inches by tomorrow, midday Thursday. And taking a further look at the weather right now, it is 36 degrees at the Juno International Airport. We've got scattered rain and snow showers. Tonight, of course, as you heard, snow mainly after midnight with a low around 30. And then we have snow tomorrow before 3 o'clock. And we have rain and snow, all snow after 3 o'clock. And then more snow. Yeah, with those temperatures just around the low 30s going into the higher registers of the 30s. Starting Saturday, as they do in Southeast Alaska. And pro tip, if you want to get an Eagle Crest forecast, just go to the Weather Service website and punch in Eagle Crest. KTOO is honored to broadcast on Tlingit Ani. Our studios sit on fill that was once tideland and is the home of the Akwan Tlinidi, or Dog Salmon people. We respect the Tlingit people for their care of this land and these waterways for thousands of years. From stories to the use of language, you'll hear a rising tide of Tlingit voices on KTOO. Gunashchish for your patience as we learn.
Hansen Gress, Ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin talk anachaya ha ani kach. Gunish cheese.
Welcome back to a Juno Afternoon. I'm Katie Bosler, filling in for Shelley Delaney today. And with me in the studio are a team of actors, producers, directors who will bring us radio plays, our first ever live theater performance simulcast on K2 this weekend. Very excited about this. We're going to have a special behind-the-scenes discussion about the plays, the playwrights, the sound effects, and more. And I would like to welcome here Ed Littlefield, who is a sound design and Foley artist. We also have Roblin Gray Davis, a director, Kate Ross, producer and Foley expert. And we also have on the line with us on Zoom is Vera Starbard, our adapter and playwright. And oh, and we also have, he's sitting right in front of me, Jared Olin. He is also a director and actor for The Beginning of Eagle, which is, of course, the play that Vera has written. Welcome, Jared. Good to have you here. Hello, everyone.
Hey, Katie.
How's it going, Katie?
Hello. Okay, let's get right up to those mics. You guys know about mics. And Vera, you're right here with us.
Yes, hello, goodness, cheese.
Okay, yeah, oh boy. You're sounding like you might be in a tunnel somewhere, but...
I'll try and switch over the sound.
Okay. We'll work on it here. So, Jared, tell me, how did you come to this production?
I was asked through Flor de Lino and Sarah Wallace. They came up to me actually through the cafe. They stopped me while I was getting my little breakfast burrito and asked me if I wanted to direct a little play. Mm-hmm. What really brought me, what sold me on it is that Vero is the one writing it. I'm so excited about everything that she's creating, and she's really been launching off, especially in regular Hollywood form media, which is great to see. So, but even before that, I've worked with her a couple times at Perseverance Theater. And so that's really what drew me to this. And also with Ed Littlefield here and the magic that he creates recently in Where the Summer Meets the Stars, and in the one rehearsal that we've had with him so far, it's been really special to be a part of it. Yeah, thanks.
Well, fantastic. And Vera, how are you doing there? Our Zoomer.
I'm trying to switch audio if someone wants to let me in, but if you can hear me, I'm doing great.
Okay, we hear you just fine. So tell us about the beginning of Eagle. This has been adapted by stories told by Tommy Jimmy.
So Tommy Jimmy and Victoria Johnson have been working on this for years. Tommy's been working on this for decades. And it's something they bring to schools. It's something they tell. They're trying to record. They're trying to research these different stories about sort of the origins of Tlaquiani. And Tommy talks a lot about, you do hear a lot about Raven. And we hear an awful lot about Raven, right? Like we have so much art, so much stories. But so all Tlaquiani, you know, they're either Raven or Eagle, and yet we hear so little about Eagle. There's not an awful lot about Eagle. And he tells these stories, he shares these stories that he and Victoria have brought from their clans, from their research, from things they remember being told, and have tried to share them for years. And so this is sort of one way in adapting it for radio, that it could be around for much longer. I'd actually, coming to this, had realized I never really heard Eagle stories until I heard him telling this one. So it was kind of exciting to get this sort of eye-opening storytelling in Clinton.
Yes, and that Eagle meets Uncle Earth. I love that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
Well, thank you, Vera. That's a good overview for us. So Jared, tell us what do we have? What are we going to see if we get to the studio to this weekend behind the scenes? This is kind of a window, everybody, to radio theater. So this is something that'll be broadcast on KTOO and online, but you can also come to the studio and experience this radio theater.
Yeah, so I'm really excited by the form of this. It's going to be, so the live audience that will be there, it'll, for them, they're going to experience really just a reader's theater. So everyone's going to be standing up with their stands, holding their scripts, and we'll be reading along, and we've placed each other kind of strategically, like we have certain partners in the story that I think should be next to each other. So we have that, and then a certain duo that I think should be split apart. So, so that's what the live audience will experience. And then over the radio, I think we're trying to focus on bringing life to these characters. And it's interesting because we only are able to do that through audio and their voice quality and timbre and rhythm and all of these things that they can add to it. And we have Christina Apathy, who is skilled in voice directing, who can help us along on that path. And I think that the actors have been doing great veering towards that and not being able to express with movement or their body. So it's been an interesting challenge, but yeah.
Yeah. And then, Ed, you will be bringing the sound effects to this.
Yes.
and for those of you who saw Where the Summit Meets the Stars at Perseverance Theater, we saw you right in action there with the rhythm section. That was kind of a full body experience, really. But tell us about how you create these sound effects.
Yeah. In the script, there are pretty specific directions of, you know, sound effects and things like that. And then my job is to find something that makes a similar sound. So the one that really I was looking at, St. Vincent de Paul yesterday, For some sort of machinery sound. And there's like a, you know, sounds of industry and things like that. And I actually found a Nerf gun that you click it and then it releases and then you pull the trigger and it's got this like, and so with the help of microphone, placement where you put the actual instrument that you're playing, you can make it sound like, you know, a big heavy machine, even though it's a red Nerf gun.
So there you are in St. Vincent de Paul, just elated that you found this.
Oh, I probably did it about 40 times just to get the sound and everything. So, but yeah, that's just one example. And then there's also voice techniques in addition to that. So like calls of eagle and raven and loon, I can do those with my voice, with a microphone there. But there's also water sounds. You got to, like, if there's rain in the play, you got to make it rain. And I make it rain with a colander that I pour water into that's dripping into a bucket. So kind of cool.
Well, this sounds like so much fun. And I know it's going to be a lot of fun to listen to on the radio and online, but it would be so cool to see that in person. And also, in addition to the beginning of Eagle on Saturday, starting at 5 o'clock, we'll be Reeling. And that is a play by Frank Henry Kashkatas. And that is about a young woman who paddles to her the secret fishing spot of her uncle to pay respects to him. And then it's a powerful play about forgiveness and testing oneself and moving forward in life. Any thoughts on Reeling, since Frank isn't here?
Yeah, it's great to see the different styles of Vera and Frank and how they write things. Mm-hmm. But I think Frank was had a vision for an actual reader's theater / like staged play for this, and that he modified. And so there's some interesting things. You have to show transitions as well. As so, there's a part where I'm shaking a rattle while paddling, making a paddling sound. So it's like, it's sound effect and Foley in addition to transitions. It's very cool. So.
Okay. And then there will be, Vera, a talk back with Tommy Jimmy and Victoria Johnson on your play. After the 5 o'clock, performance, if you will, on Saturday, February 11th here at the KTOO studios.
Yeah, I'm so glad that will happen too, because I think if there's any frustration that Tommy has with Steb, it's that we can only catch your, this is, I think, 22 pages of just mountains and mountains of stories and work and stuff that he's done. So I'm glad he'll be able to give some context to both his work and to this story, because this is just a little snapshot of sort of the breadth of work that he's done. So I'm really happy that he'll be there.
Yes, and this is a first of a whole series of Eagle stories that you are working on.
Fingers crossed, yes.
Okay. Well, really looking forward to this and this Tlingit perspective. Well, speaking of sound effects, we do have something queued up, and this is courtesy of Ghost Light Theater, and this is Carriage. Does that sound familiar, Kate Ross?
Yes, that was me in my driveway and garage last October, a year and a half ago, making carriage noises with Tupperwares and all sorts of other things.
Oh, my gosh. So what do you, like, wake up at 4 a.m. going, Tupperware?
I mean, a little bit, maybe not 4 a.m., but there's a lot of brainstorming and experimentation. That was one for horse hooves that took us a while to figure out the best way to make that noise. And it does take two people because you need four hands, four Tupperwares. But just empty Tupperware on a hard surface, we found out, makes really, really good horse hoof noises.
Oh, my gosh. And I was that for Dracula or for the case of the Careless Client, which is going to be on Sunday, the 12th of February at 5 o'clock here at the KT Studios?
Yeah, that was one that we recorded for Dracula that we aired in October of 2021. Mm-hmm. And so we're really excited to get to rebroadcast that this Friday at 7 p.m. It was really fun to get together and do that Foley because we were we're pre-recording that stuff, we could layer a lot more of it. It's definitely a different challenge from doing it live in the studio. So it's been really fun to work on these radio plays, both in the recording and mixing side and getting ready to do it live as well.
Sure. And then Dracula originally was broadcast in, was it the fall of 2021?
Yeah, October 21. Yeah.
Okay. And okay. So that's, of course, that classic tale, horror, intrigue, love. It'll be rebroadcast at 7 o'clock again to kick off this radio theater festival, if you will. Friday the 10th of February, 7 o'clock. You can hear it at 104.3 or 91.7 FM or go online at kto.org/listen. And then Roblyn Gray Davis, you are also joining us in the studio here because with Ghostlight Theater, you are directing The Case of the Careless Client. This is an Agatha Christie classic.
Yes, it is. And this is such an exciting opportunity, not just to do a recorded piece, but to do it live with a studio audience and having it broadcast live, how it used to be done in the good old days, early 20th century, doing radio theater.
Well, that's the thing. Now, have all of you been listening to, you know, some of this heyday of radio theater in preparation for this, which occurred, what was it, the 30s, 40s?
Yeah. And it's fun to have a resurgence. I've always been interested in radio theater myself, doing readers' theater in schools and then just continuing that as an actor. That's usually the first step to creating a play is just reading the script aloud and listening to the story.
Sure.
So it's great to be able to actually do that with a live audience this year, because last year for Dracula, it was all recorded.
Well, it sounds like this is full of some surprises, twists and turns.
Yeah, and definitely for the live audience that's there, we'll have a few surprises just for them and a little bit of extra entertainment. So you can come on down this weekend and be in the studio with the actors.
This seems like something that would be a lot of fun for children, you know, I think just to kind of just to see, you know, pull the curtain there. But I do know as a PSA, we don't want too young of children to be there. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I think it's a fantastic opportunity for maybe elementary or middle school and up age kids to come and get that behind the scenes look at how we are creating this all together. We are just asking that not too young of kids come because it is being broadcast live. In addition to that, we are going to be recording it, and I believe KTOO will have those recordings available online. So as much as we want audience reactions, we're trying to limit the kid reactions that can get a little bit wild because they're having just so much fun.
Yeah. Well, so I guess we have plenty of room in the studio. I don't know. I mean, it sounds like this could be a hot ticket this weekend. Again, folks, this is our theater festival, if you will. And this is happening this kicking off this Friday night at 7 o'clock with a rebroadcast of Dracula here on KTOO with Ghostlight Theater. Then on Saturday, the 11th of February at 5 o'clock, The Beginning of Eagle by Vera Starbird. That is adapted from stories told by Tommy Jimmy. Reeling by Frank Henry Cash Katas. And then Sunday, February 12th at 5 o'clock, The Case of the Careless Client by Agatha Christie. Is there something any of you would like to add here? That's just a burning detail people need to know.
Yeah. So I was in my research the last month or so. I was actually watching videos and I watched a video of some professional Hollywood Foley artists, and it was really fascinating.
I want to stop you right there because what is Foley?
The act of making music for sound effects. What was that definition we looked up?
Atmosphere as well really bring the landscape or the scene to the imagination of the listening audience.
Okay.
Yeah, and as like a line could be, you know, and she walked towards the door. And you don't say, footstep, footstep, footstep. You actually take two shoes and put them on a surface, which is what they call a Foley pit. And of maybe it's a ground or gravel, so you have some rocks and you have to put your shoes on. It's really fascinating because what our ears hear, you know, it helps us tell the story with those sound effects. But they said, you know, I was watching this video and they said the only thing they record in person is dialogue. So think about that the next time you watch a Marvel movie or you watch any movie, is that like the only thing that they recorded on set was the dialogue. Everything else is Foley. So when we talk about the lost art of Foley, it's or like bringing it back, it's actually been around. We just don't call it that, or we didn't, at least I didn't realize what it was. So that's cool. I watched one where it was Superman's cape and he had a little cape where he was going one, two. You know, like timing it with, yeah, whoosh and all that stuff is really fascinating. So if you come to the show, you can see us create that atmosphere. But if you don't get to come to the show, you just listen to the recording, close your eyes and see like, what could that sound be? It's because, you know, I bet you're not going to guess some newspaper that I'm hitting together to make flapping wing sound.
And we're having some fun trying to create old timey automobile sounds and telephone, an old dial telephone, and even an airplane,
elevator,
an old elevator.
Well.
Yeah. So
my favorite in reeling is the storm. So we got a wind, a thunder sheet, and some rain sounds. It's kind of, it's super fun.
Well, this is just going to be fantastic. Again, this radio theater festival happening this Saturday and Sunday, kicking off on Friday night. To buy tickets, folks, you want to go to the KTOO website, and you can see a link there at ktoo.org. You can also go to JunoGhostLight.com, or to TheaterAlaska.org. Thanks again to Ed Littlefield, our Foley and sound effects expert, to Jared Olin, our actor and director, to Kate Ross, our producer, and to Roblin Gray-Davis, a director. Thanks so much for coming in.
And Vera
Starbard, thank you so much for being here on Zoom.
Thank you, Katie.
Thanks, Katie.
All right.
Good night, Chief.
All right. And we will go out with Clippity Clocks. Clippity Clacks. Also known as Tupperware in Kate's garage.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
This is Steve Kosis with the Marie Jack Planetarium. I'm going to talk about the moons of the solar system. Mercury and Venus both have zero moons. The Earth has one moon. Mars has two moons. Jupiter has 80 moons. Saturn has 83 moons. Uranus has 27. And Neptune has 14 moons. So that makes a total of 205 moons in the solar system. Recently, 12 new moons of Jupiter have been discovered, so that makes 217. So let me talk about two unique moons. Our moon, Earth's moon, is unique in that it's the largest moon relative to the planet it's orbiting around. Neptune's moon, Triton, is unique in that it is the only moon that's orbiting in the opposite direction from the other moons and the rotation of its planet. That's called retrograde motion. Now, the largest moon is Ganymede, one of the moons of Jupiter, and it's larger than the planet Mercury. The second largest moon is Titan, which is a moon of Saturn, and it's also larger than the planet Mercury. In fact, Titan is also unique in is that the only moon other than our moon that a human probe has landed on. And Titan also has an atmosphere of methane and methane lakes, which were detected by the space probes that we sent there. Now, the Marie Jack Planetarium is doing a public show on the moons of the solar system. It will be Saturday, February 11th at 6 p.m. You can find out about it on our website at mariedragplanetarium.org. Thank you.
Welcome back to A Juno Afternoon, and you hear this lovely flute playing underneath my voice. That is of Sally Schlichting, who is here to talk about a recital for flute, music, and more happening Saturday at the APK. Welcome, Sally.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's so great to have you here. You're going to be playing along with Sue Kazama on piano.
Yeah, that's right. Sue's going to join me. She's such a tremendous pianist, and she's joining me on a Bach sonata and a fantasy based on the themes of La Traviata, the opera by Giuseppe Verdi. And so I'm going to play kind of a flamboyant piece. It's really a lot of fun. And yeah, so those are two of the works on the first half. The second half, I'll be playing an unaccompanied solo by contemporary composer, Japanese composer Toru Takemitsu. Mm. And then the program closes out with a flute quartet, flute and strings by Wolfgang Mozart. So, yeah.
Sounds absolutely beautiful. And the acoustics in the APK atrium or something else?
They're really, really pleasing. It's a pleasure to play there as a musician, definitely. And they have a pretty nice piano, too.
So you've played there before, but this is the first time you've done something like this in a while.
Done a solo recital there. This is my first time doing that. Mm. But we've had some other musicians. Lisa Ebius did a solo recital a few years ago there. And yeah, she's a violinist in town. And yeah, we've had a lot of chamber music concerts there.
Oh, it sounds like it's going to be just beautiful. And tell us a little bit about the quartet.
Yeah, the quartet is, it's, you know, this is a quartet I've been wanting to perform in concert in Juneau for like my entire adult life.
Oh my gosh.
And it's been really challenging to find the musicians at the right time that are available that can play the parts. Mm-hmm. And all three of these musicians, Elena Levy on violin, Meg Rossin on viola, and mm-hmm. Ben Holtz on cello, all have moved here to Juneau in the last, I would say, 3 or 4 years. And so it just works out that we could finally, we could put this piece on the program. Mozart wrote these quartets. He wrote four of them as a commission for a Dutch amateur flutist. And it looks like from what I've read about them, he wasn't really all that excited about this commission. He's not crazy about the instrument, the flute, and he had a tough time kind of finishing the quartets. But the first one is a full three movements. It's in D major, and that's the one we're going to perform. And it's lively and fun and just full of life.
And it sounds like this is a really a lifelong as if you will, goal of yours to be being realized this Saturday.
Well, yeah, I mean, this particular piece, I mean, it's kind of silly that I haven't been able to perform it, but it's just, you know, everybody's got lives and work, and it can be hard to schedule people. And so it's great. I'm really glad to be playing it. People are going to love it.
How long have you been playing the flute?
Oh, gosh. 46 years. Yeah. Yeah. A long time. I started here in Juneau at Glacier Valley School.
Oh, so you're
I'm
born
local.
And raised.
Yeah. I'm born and well, not born here, but I've been here since I was 2 years old. And I started studying flute at Glacier Valley School. And then I went on to have flute lessons with some local flutists. And then gradually, you know, I went outside for some education and schooling and training and in flute playing, and majored in flute in college, and came back here and continued just working to better my playing. And it's been a lifelong journey of constantly working to improve and expand my knowledge and skills and abilities. And yeah.
And your lungs and your embouchure.
And my lungs and my embouchure and my fingers. And
I know that word because I played the flute once upon a time.
Oh, yeah.
And unfortunately, I put it down when I was 17, and I kind of wish I hadn't.
Oh, yeah. Well, something you can always try and pick up again. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Well, Combrio, tell us about what that stands for.
Oh, Combrio is a musical term to be with life, with spirit, with verve. And so I named the chamber music series Combrio Chamber Series. I started this organization is kind of a loose term back in... I guess 2016, out of a desire to have more chamber music performed in Juneau and to highlight the talents of musicians you may not hear as often in a chamber music setting, to give them that opportunity. So to both give back to the community as well as to nourish our local musicians as well.
Yeah. And you also, you have other projects as well. You play with the orchestra.
I do. I play with the Juneau Symphony, Amalga Chamber Orchestra. If we do opera again, I love to play in the opera pit. And I'm playing with the wind ensemble this spring. And
which wind ensemble is that?
It's the Juneau Community Taku Winds, they call it. Taku Winds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. And yeah, so chamber music's definitely my top love, but I also love to play in the orchestra. And we just finished a concert a couple weeks ago, and we have another one in April with the Juneau Symphony.
Well, it sounds like things, so to speak, are in full swing again.
They definitely are. And Combrio had a couple of programs last fall, and many other musical groups had events as well. So it was a very busy fall for many musicians. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I get the idea that you're glad to be back in the swing of things.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. It's a real pleasure to perform. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, gosh, this is a pay as you can at 2:00 on Saturday, the 11th of February at the atrium at the Alaska State Museum, also known as the APK. Anything other thoughts you have about this event? Any recommendations for people who might want to come?
Well, you know, I designed this program to be really accessible. And, you know, I've done a lot with Combrio. I've done a lot of contemporary music in the last couple of years. And as I've said before, I feel like I have a responsibility to deliver a balanced diet of chamber music. And so this is a more, you know, more traditional, familiar composers like Bach and Mozart and the themes of Verdi. And I think that it's just a wonderful program to come in here on a Saturday afternoon in February. And it's just a little over an hour, and the concert is, you know, it's pay as you can. So, you know, if you can't pay anything, that's fine. It doesn't matter. Just come and enjoy this beautiful music and a beautiful performance space at the Alaska State Museum.
Well, Sally Schlichting, thank you so much for joining us on a Juno Afternoon today. Yeah. I know that I plan to be in the audience myself.
Great.
And again, folks, that's Music for Flute with Sally Schlichting, flautist with playing Bach, Verdi, Takamitsu, Mozart, with Sue Kazama on piano, and then Elena Levi on violin, Megan Rost on viola, and Ben Holtz on cello. And we'll go out with a little bit of the Mozart.
Okay, great. We'll see you this Saturday.
Thank you.
Sounds wild. Hi, I'm Riley Woodford for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. On a hike through the woods, I see a white bone in the moss of the forest floor. It's a skull, a fox skull, clean and white with a long snout and pointed teeth. The lower jaw is missing, and I turn the skull over and I look at the bottom. There are two matching jelly bean-sized bumps underneath on each side at the back. These are the auditory bulla. Bulla is Latin for bubble, and each one of these bony bubbles has a hole through the outside edge. These hollow structures under the skull house the parts of the middle and inner ear. The hole on the side is the ear canal. Auditory bulla are where you'd expect them to be on an animal's head, right below the ears. They are really noticeable on animals with a well-developed hearing. Foxes have big ears and great hearing. They can hear a mouse moving under the snow and pounce on it. Kangaroo rats have excellent hearing and exceptionally large auditory bulla, not for hunting, but because they are hunted. Kangaroo rats are prey for owls, which are virtually silent in flight. Natural selection favored rats with better hearing. Hares and rabbits also have large auditory bulla, and they're known for their big ears and their sharp hearing. For Sounds Wild, I'm Riley Woodford.
Welcome back to A Juno Afternoon. This is your host, Katie Bosler, filling in for Shelley Delaney today. And with me in the studio is, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Sidden.
Good to meet you. And also we have online Brenda Taylor. Hi, Brenda.
Hi, thank you.
Well, Brenda and Yvette are from the Juno STEAM Coalition or STEM Coalition. And they're going to talk about a really exciting event happening on Monday, the 13th of February at Thunder Mountain High School. It's called Curiosity Unleashed. STEAM, science, technology, engineering, art, and math.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having us, Katie. We just wanted to
sort of promote the event, make sure that the community was aware it was happening. It really is a community-wide K through five, geared at K through five aged kids event that has all kinds of different activities for them to just explore and be curious, sort of get their hands dirty and with their families learn about different science, technology, engineering, art, math topics.
Yeah. So, Brenda, how did this event, is this event kind of an annual thing or is it a new thing?
Well, is there a new term for annual except for COVID? That should be a something.
Right.
This is the fourth time we've had it, but we skipped 21 and 22. And it came from the Juno STEM Coalition wanting to get more STEM opportunities for more kids, sort of transform somewhat how we even think about STEM, like beyond scientists into doing science thinking. And then how could we really bring together this amazing STEM and STEAM local community that we have who really want to connect with educators? How do we get them making those connections? And so this event is really a perfect way to do that. There are so many people out there in our community who have such amazing expertise. And by expertise, I don't just mean like professionals and scientists, right? The crabbers, the fishermen, the car mechanics, the songwriters, the people who really figure out how things work and have this curiosity and experimentation and problem solving as like key skills and characteristics. So this is a great way for them to share what they do with families. And then also this year, we're really excited to have a lot of teachers actually getting some funding through STEPS and the school district to be able to come and see these activities and then hopefully make some connections with these STEAM experts and with their activities and bring them into the classrooms and reach even more kids.
Okay. And now this all started, it's hosted by the Juno STEM Coalition and the Juno School District. So can you clarify for us that we've got STEM, we've got STEAM. What do these acronyms stand for and how did they evolve, Brenda?
So it's not so, you know, everything gets a little mushy, right? But when the STEM Coalition started, I think in 2017, we were particularly other STEM-type organizations, so not particularly arts, saying, hey, how could we specifically do STEM? And one of the reasons that we didn't start off including the arts is that this community already has a lot of organizations that facilitate arts in the schools, right? Through the JAC and through artful teaching and through a whole lot of other things. Whereas coordinating some of these other kinds of experts, there wasn't a process for that. And so we saw a need for that. And then, yes, there's been a lot of discussion about STEM versus STEAM. We're calling it a STEAM event because we really think that all of these activities, the science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics are all very, very related in terms of, again, like, how do you figure out the world? Mm-hmm. How can you explore? How can you be creative? How can you solve problems? And I think one of the things that's wonderful about STEM and STEAM is that they're very much integrated activities, right? You're not just doing one thing by itself when you're doing any of those things professionally. So, we didn't want to, as an organization, aim too big and say that we were, as an organization, do everything art as well. Mm-hmm. But when we have events, we really want to make sure that we're bringing in the art organizations with us. Does that help a little bit clarify that difference?
Yeah, I mean,
so our email is Juno STEM Coalition, and our website is junostem.org. But we absolutely work with arts people as well and understand the importance of integrating all of that.
Sure. Well, it answers a question for me personally, because I always thought that art was kind of left out here of the STEM thing, but it sounds like it hasn't really been settled. Is that right, Yvette?
I think coming from maybe the more science professional side mm-hmm. of things, mm-hmm. it's been a growing recognition of how arts do integrate with the traditional STEM fields, mm-hmm. and even on our side as well, sort of recognizing how important that is and how mm-hmm. much it already is really included in the work that we do mm-hmm. without us having maybe sort of yeah. really acknowledged
it. Can you give me an example of that?
Well, I, you know, in my day job, I work at NOAA Fisheries, and mm-hmm. so much of the work I do is how we communicate science. Mm-hmm. And that's both, you know, verbally, how do you take, you know, maybe some complex scientific concept and mm-hmm. communicate it to the general public, but also visually. Sure. We do a lot of PowerPoint presentations or posters or video production of the kind of work we do. And so that is sure. also inclusive of arts in communicating.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it mm-hmm. helps, I think, when I like to go into classrooms and work with teachers on bringing, you know, maybe some science topic into the classroom. And there is usually some aspect of it that has more of that creative, maybe art, maybe drawing mm-hmm. component to yeah. it, because that's how you can reach, you know, not all of our brains work the same way.
Sure.
And that's how you can connect to more of the kids.
And now, what do you do for NOAA, and what attracted you or brought you to this STEAM coalition?
Yeah. So I work for the Auk Bay Labs out at mm-hmm. the Lena Point facility. My focus is on Bering Sea fisheries, but, you know, I have been working with Brenda and the STEM Coalition since probably 2017 mm-hmm. because of this mission of connecting all of the local STEAM professionals with classrooms and bringing yeah. all of that expertise into our classrooms with teachers to bring them that really place-based education. So they're learning about the world literally around them here, not just from textbooks.
Yeah. Can either or both of you give me some examples of what kinds of hands-on activities K through fifth graders and their parents can do at this event at Thunder Mountain High School on Monday night, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m.?
Brenda, you have a better handle on the list. Do you want to give some examples?
Sure. We have so many things happening from NOAA in terms of fish dissection and albatross pollus dissection and fish prints and a feeding frenzy, that we've actually taken Yvette away from marine things. And she's going to do something, an engineering challenge, which is how can you build an aluminum foil boat to hold as many pennies as possible? So there's a big Whoa. Range of, like, here's this content knowledge to mm-hmm. here's this really kind of fun challenge. Somebody's coming from Fish and Game to do muskeg chemistry. You know, how are the muskegs like pickles? Somebody is coming and just helping kids hammer nails, which may seem really simple, but make so many kids actually don't get a chance to do that. The Coast Guard is doing experimenting with ice and when does it melt faster, in salt water or fresh water. Discovery Southeast is doing track mats and animal adaptations. Juneau Mountain Rescue is coming and bringing their pulleys to show how they lift people up and down. And they'll be right next to the Juneau Icefield Research Program, who will be doing how glacial flows work. Kathy Connor's coming and doing her geology, what makes glaciers flow more and less. And she's using something called flubber to imitate glaciers. And then they'll have a student who was there last year. They'll be designing fish traps, similar. That's the kit from the City Museum. Basically, how can you design a fish trap so something can get in easily and you can't, that fish can't get out easily. Should I keep going?
My gosh, so much.
Let me just do two art things because
sure.
we didn't mention that. So shadow puppets, one of the focuses of this event is thinking about light and looking at things carefully. So that's with NOAA has been gracious enough to donate 200 fold scopes, which are cardboard microscopes for the families. So that's hence a lot of the dissection and a looking closely. And shadow puppets, of course, is light and shadow, right? Mm-hmm. How can you make stories?
So I see a free fold scope for the first 200 families.
Yep. Yep. And then another teacher is coming and making kaleidoscopes with kids. So again, that's light, prism, art. What are these designs? How do you design things? We have an accountant coming and talking about making accounting fun. So I think we've got robots.
Help your parents with their taxes.
Right.
So I also noticed there's a special interactive Raven Writes presentation. Tell us about that.
So that's the albatross bolus. And Yvette, I don't actually even know what a bolus is. What an
albatross is. It's their stomach. It'll be their stomach contents.
Okay. Oh, okay. So that's the Raven Writes presentation? Yeah.
So Raven Writes is a program that SHI is doing the school district.
Yes.
And so one of the great opportunities here is to highlight one of these great programs that's happening in the school district so parents get to actually see how it happens. So there's a story that's read. I don't remember which Tlingit story it is that they'll be reading, and then they'll have this opportunity to actively dissect this albatross as well. So that's an opportunity to see how the literacy and the science go together.
Wow. Well, this is 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. and so much. You can only do a few of these things, right? But you've got choices for different interests.
And not every station.
We have almost 50 choices.
Right. And some stations, they're really, you know, both on the presenter side and the family and kid side, the idea is you can sort of come in, engage with an activity, maybe 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, and move on. Or if you're really into it, stay for as long as you want. So it's sort of self-led at the event, and you can come and go into any of the stations as you're interested in it.
Okay. And Brenda, I see it looks like you are here on Zoom in a classroom. Where are you located? and are you a teacher?
I'm not currently actively in the I don't know. I think once you're a teacher, you're always a teacher, right?
Sure.
And I would actually say we're all teachers. Like all of these people who are coming and sharing their skills and their passion and their curiosity, they're all teachers. So I am still a teacher in that way. Right now, I'm actually helping with the BAM after-school program at Floyd Dryden. Mm. And so I'm doing a felting thing with them, as well as something about cameras and solving problems. And that's through SHI. I also do a lot with the STEM Coalition. We have a whole data literacy program going on that maybe we'll come and talk to you about another time.
Well, so much going on, and it sounds like this really enhances what the public schools offer here, and what a great opportunity. And this is, has this been done since COVID?
No, this will be the first time back in person.
Okay.
Yeah, we did it like in 2020, I want to say the end of January, so... You know, just before everything closed down.
Yeah.
But it's been super successful. There's like 350 people who show up, and there's just people milling all over the place. And we've got the commons and sort of 1.5 wings of TM full of activities. There'll be snacks for people as well. Not enough for dinner, but recognizing that it is sort of during that dinner hour so that you have something to eat a little bit. And there's, as you pointed out, there's no way that everybody can do everything. But one of the things that we really do hope is that teachers or administrators or other community people are like, wow, this is a really cool activity. I'm going to invite them back into my classroom or my school and share some of these cool things with other people. So don't despair if you don't get to everything. You can ask for it to come to your school during the day.
Okay. Yeah. If any parents or community members are more interested in the Juno STEM Coalition and getting involved, who would they contact? Where would they go?
We have an email, the Juno STEM Coalition @gmail.com, or the website, junostem.org.
Okay. And Yvette Sidden and Brenda Taylor, is there anything else you'd like to add about this Curiosity Unleashed STEAM event, a free event for K-5 families at Thunder Mountain High School on Monday, the 13th of February from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m.?
I think we're just excited to see everyone out there that night. Both, thank you ahead of time to the presenters that are coming, and thank you to the families. Like, we're just excited to see everyone there and see their excitement.
Fantastic.
And if I could just completely ditto that and say that if there's anybody who happens to be free that evening who would like to come and help, we would love more help, either a whole new activity or assisting with somebody else's activity or sort of in the general running around helping. So please email us if you have time to help us out. That would be awesome.
Well, good point. In a place with not a whole lot of human beings in a remote community, when we're taking on 50 plus hands-on STEAM activities for families, K through 5 families on Monday night, you're definitely going to need some help. Again, folks, if you want more information, you can go to junostem.org. If you're interested in helping out or just getting involved in any way with the Juno STEM Coalition, who are putting on this STEAM, science, technology, engineering, art, and math free event for K-5 families, you can go ahead and go to junostem.org. Thanks again so much to both of you, Yvette Sidden and Brenda Taylor, for joining us here on a Juno Afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
All the best with the event.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. Thanks for joining us, everyone, for a Juno Afternoon. This is Katie Bosler filling in as host today on this Wednesday for Shelley Delaney. It was my pleasure to talk to a bit Yvette Sidden and Brenda Taylor from the Juno STEM Coalition on that big event that's happening on Monday night from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Thunder Mountain High School for K through 5 families. Also to Sally Schlichting, who is, of course, doing that wonderful flute event with Sue Kazama and that and friends, and that is happening on Saturday at 2:00 in the APK atrium. And then, of course, drumroll please. This is the weekend, folks. The Alaska Theater Festival of Radio Plays, that's co-produced by K2 and Theater Alaska in association with the Ghost Light Theater. If you want tickets to see this live in the studio here at K2, you can go to ktoo.org, junoghostlight.com, or Theater Alaska.